This is our Easter take two. You know, do y'all realize, right? Thank you for being here. And thank you for what you're doing during the week as you serve and you love people and you serve the King, right? And I was thinking, Easter's such a big deal. It's such a huge thing. Like, how can we cover it in one Sunday a year, right? Isn't Easter big? It's big. It's like, did you enjoy the Easter service last week? The worship was amazing because we all stepped back and recognized the greatness of our King. Speaking of that, Missy, would you bring me that treasure box? I so appreciate our prophetic team puts together the communion table each week. And you know, I feel special. I feel like I'm getting something. Thank you. Wow. I felt something as she was walking up here. I felt something from the Lord. And I don't know if you took communion yet, but this is full of gold. It's like this whole box is full. It's got all kinds of cool things in it. Hey, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the King's table. So anybody wants that $200 gold piece right there, it's probably more like $2,000 if it was actually gold. But you know, it's like, I just want you to remember, Easter has changed the world. And Easter, the resurrection that we celebrate on Easter, is the key to everything. I think the world is trying to convince us that they have the key to your happiness, that they've got the key to your prosperity, they've got the key to how to raise children, they've got the key to how to live in relationships. The world doesn't have the key to it. His name was Jesus. And so when we sing to him and we worship him, it's like we're just recognizing what's already true. Now, I want this up here today, as I was taking communion a while ago, which you're welcome to take communion anytime during the service, after the service, before the service. I was just having an encounter with the Lord. It's just like God said, you know that's all for you, don't you? Like, he's my dad. And I have an inheritance from him. It's like I didn't start the world from nothing. When you have this kind of inheritance, you're starting with an advantage. And guys, the truth is, everyone in this room, every single one of us, our dad has an amazing inheritance for us. And today I want to talk about the gospel again. And I want to talk about the resurrection again and some of the realities of what happened with the resurrection. And so I want to look at this verse. This is the verse we did last week. And I know I said something very shocking last week to you and to me. It was shocking, this verse, this passage. This is something that happened directly after Jesus rose from the dead. The first time he gathered with his disciples, they didn't believe the women who came and told him. They didn't believe the two guys that were on the road to Emmaus with him. They thought he was dead. Those women knew better, didn't they? Mary Magdalene knew better, but they didn't believe her. So they're gathered. Listen, you know what it says. I read this last week. On the evening, this is John 20, verse 19, all four Gospels record this event, and they record it a little differently, each one. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, remember last week we talked about it, are you locked away because of fear? Is fear putting you in a box? Is fear stopping you from being everything God's created you to be? Is fear ruling your world? You know, we could call fear worry. We think worry's okay. Worries, listen, if you've got this kind of inheritance waiting for you, what are you worried about? You worried about your bills? Are you worried about your physical health? Are you worried about your children's future? Not if you have this. And it's really a battle of our faith. Do we believe that our God has an inheritance for us? Tim quoted a verse I'm going to read this morning. They were locked away for fear, and then Jesus came. I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, the darkness flees. The light always chases out darkness. Whatever you're battling today, he is the answer. There's no darkness that can stop him. And he came. He came. The light came and was born on earth in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, right, in Israel. And the light is spreading across the world today. And then he said, peace be with you. Peace, guys. Quit stressing out. Chill. Why are you all stressed out? And he stood among them, and then after he said this, he showed them his hands. He showed him his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said it again. Peace. Because there was a storm going on inside of their hearts and in their minds. And I think some of us, you need to hear that today. Is there a storm going on in your mind? Is there worry? Are you fretting about something? You young people don't know what that means. That means worried. Is your mind consumed with trying to fix some problem? Is your mind consumed with doubts and fears and all crazy stuff that the enemy's just going, just like he did to Jesus? Oh, if God loved you, if you're the Son of God, if. And Jesus stood in the middle of that. It was a storm. And this morning, I believe the Lord wants you to have peace. Not theoretical peace. Real peace in the midst of your storm. I believe that's a word for you this morning. And I believe God's going to do it. And then Jesus said, here's the crazy thing that Pastor Tim just said. As the Father sent me. Now, how did God send Jesus to the world? The perfect time for him to be born in all of history, God sent him there. To the right parents, to the right little town, to the right heir. They were under occupation by Rome. Israel wasn't a free country. God handpicked this, but God not just handpicked the time, the place, and everything about him, his brothers and sisters, everything about him. God sent him and gave him, equipped him for what he was about to face. Now, we know that's true because we see the end result of Jesus, right? We know he rose from the dead. We know he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We know he's got 2.5 billion followers on earth today. We know that now. But you didn't know it then. They were poor. His dad died when he was young. It was a hard place. His mother was considered not a good person in her city where she grew up in her little town. Joseph married someone who was pregnant out of wedlock. It wasn't him. He wasn't the daddy. That's what they thought of her. That's what they thought of Jesus. You see, God sends us at perfect times. And he sent you. He said, as the Father sent me. Now, God sent Jesus with a trump card in his life. And it wasn't his supernatural God abilities that he did have. That wasn't the trump card. His trump card was his faith and the power of the Holy Spirit living through him in the world. Now, look what Jesus said. And this is too hard for us to believe. Exactly the same way God sent his Son to earth, Jesus sent you. What? What? The truth is, you have the same Holy Spirit living inside of you, working in you by faith as Jesus had working inside of him. You are just as equipped as he was. You have every privilege, every potential. And I tell you what, the problem is we are children, inheritance. We have an inheritance from the King. We are heirs sent to rule and reign in this world. And there is a treasure locked up inside of us. Now that's the truth. You are perfectly capable of overcoming everything in the world that you'll ever face because of his power in you. Listen, that gives you hope. That should give us hope beyond anyone in the world. You mean your life isn't determined by outward circumstances? No. Wait, you and I were told our whole life that there's nothing good inside of us. That's what we were told. It's not true. Jesus said the exact same way that the Father sent me, I'm sending you. You know how the Father sent Jesus to earth? This is great theology. Jesus wasn't born of a man, remember? He didn't have a physical father. Holy Spirit was his dad. He was born of a woman without a man's input. So Jesus wasn't born in the bondage that every other human on earth was facing. That was true about him. And you're like, well, that's not fair because I was born in bondage. Jesus said he came to the earth and he set us all free. We were in bondage, but now we're free. Jesus got to choose every day, will he walk in union and harmony with his dad or will he do it his way? Now, that's the exact same place I'm in. Now, I used to try to make myself a victim. Well, wait a second. Do I believe the scripture or do I not? Jesus said, the way the Father sent me to the earth, which he sent Jesus here free, it's the same way he's sending us now. You see, he is the light. He is the way. He is truth. And there is no other way besides him. And so it's funny. God is sending us that way. And I tell you what, it's good news. And what I want to talk to you today is, you know what Jesus did? And the scriptures say in verse 22 says, and with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He lived by the power of the Spirit just like we do. Is there anything in your life the Holy Spirit can't overcome? No. No. Was there anything Jesus was ever going to face, even death, that the Spirit couldn't overcome? No. He rose from the dead. You and I have the same Spirit. And then he said this thing that I talked about last week, which just blows our minds. He said this. He said, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. If you let them go from their bondage, they're free. Now, we talked about that last week. I could talk about it for a long time because it's such a mystery. Such a mystery. But I believe it's true. I believe Jesus gave us marching orders. He said, here's what you're doing. You're going to go forgive people's sins. And I'm like, ah. And then you got to remember, what we're forgiving them is the bondage they were in when they didn't know him. When we're forgiving them for a broken relationship. And what happens whenever I'm in abiding in the vine, whenever I'm in union with Christ, is his life flows through me. And this treasure, you know what this looks like in my real life? Let's see. I've got a bunch of it. I wanted to just like stuff a bunch in my pocket, but I thought y'all would all see me do it and you'd take it too and they wouldn't have any more treasure. But your box is full of this. When I'm in relationship with God, when I live with him by faith, I have patience. Take it. I have, this is true for me, I have L5 and L4 ruptured disc healed supernaturally without surgery. Take it. I have freedom from a rage and an anger that burned inside of me to the point that it took away my emotions. Take it. I'm the most loving, kind, gentle person I've ever known. I don't get that one yet. No, I don't get that one yet. Okay, I don't get that one either. I've got a few I still need, but I also have perseverance. I have revelation from the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I have some other things, but the thing is, we have a treasure trove, which is a key to everything you ever need or anyone in our lives ever need. You know, the privilege you and I have, this is really, really got me. Because when we forgive someone, we're forgiving them from something that's ruling over them. Now that has to make sense because I'm going to tell you, my whole life I've been confused by the term the good news. The gospel, in Greek, it just means good news. Like I spent 40 years ago when I became a Christian, I had to memorize how to present the gospel to people. Like it was over an hour long presentation, very detailed. And as far as I'm concerned today, with the way I understand scripture now, it's like it was full. I had to force myself to memorize it because it never made sense to me. But now I believe that God is releasing a good news, which is actually good news. And I want to show you, I'll show you scripture. I do it all the time. It's the gospel. It is good news. Paul said, Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation, for Jew and Gentile, for the whole world. Because the gospel sets us free to have a relationship with God and have the Holy Spirit live through us. That's the gospel. It's like the gospel opens the treasure chest that we can reach into our hearts and access. And there's nothing in the world that can't be found in this treasure chest. Nothing you ever need. You see, there's a big difference between I'm a bad person and I've been taken captive. You see, the good news is you're not bad. God loves you. No, he loves you beyond anything you could imagine. He loves you no matter what kind of fruit your life has had, no matter what the expression of your relationship with him or your lack of relationship with him look like. He loves you anyway. And his love is what it's all about. And it's like when you read this, and so you read that passage, and you begin to understand something. Jesus died to set us free from captivity so we could have a relationship with him. I love that picture of the faucet, and I gave it crazy illustration last week, but it's really true. Today it's a treasure chest. There's a treasure chest inside of me that I access by faith when I have a relationship with him. And everything you ever need is in the treasure chest. The problem with it's funny. We live in a world. We live in a world that has a crazy self-help thing going on. Have you guys noticed that? If you go into any bookstore, you go online, you look up, self-help is everywhere. It's like, do you know if you look at all, if you research at all, that they have an answer to every problem you have? It's an entire industry is built, a huge multi-billion-dollar industry is built upon the fact that there's things that we want to stop doing that we can't stop doing. There's things we want to happen that we aren't happening. And so there's all these people in the world, all this stuff that they advertise it and saying, this is the key to you losing weight. That's an easy one for me to see, right? And they've got diets, they've got retreat centers, they've got psychologists, they've got all kinds of this stuff, pills. They have 1,000 things on why you need or how to lose weight. Now, you want to lose weight. You want to get in shape. How come you can't do it? And they'll tell you this is the key that'll fix you. Or if you have addictions, this is how you can break that addiction. Or you have a need. You're broken. You have a deep sadness or deep sorrow. Or you have an anxiety disorder. There, every single thing, every need humans have in America, there is a way to fix it. And what they're doing is they're just holding it up. And they're saying, hey, this is the key to your freedom. And you know what? It just becomes an endless cycle. It just becomes an endless cycle. It's like, those of you that are old enough to have tried it and tried it and tried it and tried it and tried it, and you're still sad, you're still depressed, you still have anxiety, you still battle weight, you still battle getting in shape. You know, it's like, well, maybe there's a reason behind it. And I think when in the shame-free gospel, the truth is God doesn't want us to be ashamed of the outcome, the outward expression, or the thought patterns that are created by our disconnection from him. He wants to expose where our hearts are disconnected from him. And when he exposes that, the outcome changes. And he gets the glory, and he gets the credit, and he gets the honor. Everything that's ever happened in my life has been because of having a connection with him. And then Jesus, it's really interesting, John 6:52 says, then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It messed them up. He was telling them an allegory of reality. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, Alan, who are you to say that connection with Jesus is the solution to everything? I'm just repeating what he said. And I found it to be true. Found it to be true. The good news is good news. It really is, because it's the way that you can become who God's put in your heart to become that you couldn't do before. It releases a power from the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so Jesus said it this way, this crazy way. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, supernatural life. So over and over again in my life, I've seen it happen over and over. Everything I could imagine. I remember, have you ever met anybody who had to check the locks on their house like 87 times? They did crazy stuff like that, like at work. I remember they were telling me they were leaving work, and they would check and make sure they got everything locked, and then they would leave, and then they'd stop, they'd go back and check it again, and then they would leave again, and they'd get a mile down the road, they'd turn around and go back and check it again. They were just constantly in fear that they had left something undone. Constant fear, and it was consuming them. I mean, you know, we sort of would laugh about that, like, who's dumb enough to do that? Well, tell me about your weird things, you know? We're all dumb enough to do stuff like that. That was just one that's a little, but it was really, really destroying them. Well, guys, you have the answer to why that's happening in their life. They're in bondage. They're not stupid. It's not genetic. It's something real. And that's all I know. When I talk to this person, you know what I do every day when I talk to people? I just preach the gospel. Well, what do you mean? You know, the gospel, the very foundations of what Jesus came to do. It's like I tell them they're not bad. It's okay. It's all right. You're all right. You're okay. There's a reason that this anxiety is killing you. I don't know what it is, but I know that it's somewhere you're disconnected from the Lord. Somewhere. And the Lord loves you. Did you know God loves you? Well, he didn't love me. He watches what I do. He knows how scared I am. He knows everything about me. No, he loves you. Well, he doesn't love me. He didn't. You know what I did last night? No, you don't seem to understand. He loves you. You. Not what you do. What you do isn't who you are. He loves you. Yeah, but I've had this my whole life, and my mom had it, and my grandmother had it, and it's my generational curse. I'm like, Jesus, okay, Jesus broke all the curses. Y'all do know that, right? It's in the Bible. Read your Bibles. It's in the Bible. Jesus broke the curses. I know this really simple fact. I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus paid the price. He set us free from bondage. And if we're still in bondage, there's always a reason, which will always be a relationship reason. You mean I do what I do? I mean, I paid thousands of dollars to quit smoking. I've been to retreat centers. I've done everything I do, and I still can't quit. You mean smoking has something to do with my relationship with God? Everything has something to do with your relationship with God. Just does. Me too. My anger, where'd it come from? Somewhere I was separated from God. Now, was there an event that happened that caused me to believe a lie and all that? Yes. But the event wasn't what was controlling me. My broken relationship with the Father was what's controlled me. Well, you're a bad person. No. Well, I was an angry person, but the anger was the bondage. It wasn't in my heart. I wasn't born with it. I mean, like, pre-born with it. It wasn't DNA. You see, the good news is that. So every day when you give somebody hope, you're sharing the good news. I was told to preach the gospel, you had to do this long, in-depth, blah, blah thing that didn't even make sense to me. And then I found out that gospel is just the good news. Jesus sets you free. And God has a treasure chest for every one of us. We have a purpose. You know, it's funny. Jesus said, this is one of the biggest things in life that gives your life meaning, is we have to have a purpose, something we're involved with that's bigger than us. Without that, life's not worth living. And Jesus gave you and me a purpose. He said, the same way the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Now, you know what? Jesus was the only Jesus that's ever been born. He had a unique role to play that no one else in the world could play but him. Do you know you're the same? You have the exact same calling on your life. Like, there's a place where God created us to bring dominion, to bring his kingdom to this earth. And you were created by God to uniquely bring his kingdom and to preach, to share the good news. Sharing good news. You see, that's what preaching is. Preaching is just sharing good news. You know good news if you're in bondage? You're okay. You know good news if you're fighting a battle that you can't win? You know good news is you're going to win. You're going to win. We all win. We all end up seated with him in heaven and seated on the throne with Jesus. So he said that, whoever eats my flesh. So here's the good news. Jesus has already set us free. Now we get to decide whether we eat or drink. And it's not punishment. Here's good news. You're not being punished. Do you know, okay, is water important to us? 98% water. If you don't drink water, your kidneys shut down, you have bellyache. I don't know. A lot of bad things happen if you don't drink water. You can't live without it. If you don't drink water today or tomorrow or the next day, are you being punished by God when you start falling apart? No. It's just the way God created you. You need life. The same thing is true. You and I need a relationship with God. We need to have an ongoing relationship with Jesus. It's just like water. God isn't punishing us. We just aren't getting the results or the fruit of drinking water if we don't drink water. If you don't have a relationship with God, then guess what? You're going to be sad. You're going to be angry. You're going to have bondage. You're going to be self-absorbed. You're not going to have any purpose or destiny or reason to live other than your own selfish life, which is horrible mental health. You need to have a reason to live. And the truth is, we each do. And God said, whoever eats this bread. Then Jesus said it in verse 57 there again. Just exactly the same way the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I live because of him. You live because of me. How important is Jesus? If you know somebody who's sad, you actually know the answer for their sadness. But we make it awful complicated, and it's really not. There's a reason you're sad. There's somewhere you're disconnected from the Lord. Oh. Now, that may not be easy to find where you're disconnected, but there's just a reason. And it'll be a disconnection. It always is. So it's really that simple. And here's how we do it. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. It was good news then. It's still good news today. You've got good news to share with the world. God loves you. You're not bad. Here's how you have life. It's pretty simple. Now, the first thing you do, and this is a word that's confusing to us, he went, Jesus proclaimed the good news of God. That's what he did everywhere he went. When you give somebody hope, you're proclaiming the good news. When you tell somebody Jesus loves them, you're proclaiming the good news. When you tell somebody that they're not bad, that there's a reason for their behavior or their lack or their pain, that's good news to them. Then there's another good news. He said, the time's come. The kingdom of God is near. Here's how you enter the kingdom of God. Repent and believe the good news. That's all? Well, let's do the word repent. I talked about it. I showed you last week. That word is metanoeo, whatever, however they say that. That actually means changing your mind. Like, I used to believe that I had to work for everything. I used to believe this is how I should live. I used to believe this is what, and now I see that following Jesus brings life. You just changed your mind. You repented. Now, repentance is from Him. Being able to see the light and the darkness, it's like, it's good news. Listen, the world is getting, here's what the Bible says, and we misinterpret that verse. It says darkness is growing in the world. The word there can be interpreted this way too. The intense darkness is becoming more dark. Because if you see the light, and Jesus is the light, and you see the dark, you'll choose light, because light is where life is, and love and peace and joy and everything you want is in light. But what if it's murky and you can't tell the light from the darkness? It gets really difficult. I think the darkness intensity is going to increase so humans can see what's dark and they can see what's light. And when you can see that, you're going to choose light. And so here's what he said. Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. He didn't say, repent and change your behavior instantly. Right? He said, just believe the good news. What's the good news? Oh, my daddy's got treasure for me. I'm his favorite son. And I'm going to inherit all this. It's all mine. That's the good news. And that changes everything. Repentance is a changing of the mind. It's not, isn't, this is how we think. I think we like when we forgive people, this is sort of, forgive means let it go. Frozen, right? Let it go. When we forgive people, I got this from one of the word studies I read. It's extremely important to note that the focus is upon the guilt of the wrongdoer, not upon the wrongdoing itself. Now, shame, guilt, embarrassment. We actually raise thinking, well, I should be ashamed of myself if I do that. I should feel bad about that. And that's what will motivate me to do good. When Jesus says what motivates us to do good is eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Having relationship with him is what motivates us. What comes out of us is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we think we can shame ourselves into good behavior. Listen, you know where shame entered the world? In the garden when Adam and Eve separated their relationship from the Lord and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they became ashamed. And they went and covered themselves up. Do you know what covering does? It separates you from God again. And so God had to take, and he did an act, right? He killed a sheep, and he took the skin, and he covered them, showing a picture of the Savior who was to come. You see, shame and guilt, when we forgive people, we're telling them. When you tell somebody good news, you tell them for, and I'm dead serious. Listen, I know this was the act. That's there. You're not saying the act doesn't matter. You're not saying it wasn't there. It wasn't whatever. You're not saying that. I'm setting you free from the guilt, because guilt tells you that you're the problem. You're the problem. You're the loser. You're evil. There's not a good thing inside of your heart. You're totally bad, totally putrid, totally evil. And it's just by the grace of God we even exist, because his anger is going to snuff us out. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ set us free from the devil so that we could live with him. And when we live with him, his life, eternal, supernatural life, comes inside of us, and he gets all the glory and all the credit and all the honor. And so when you're set free, you're not bad. You are in bondage. That's hard. Guys, we may be the only church I know within however many miles that preaches this. But it's true. And it's good news. And I've seen the fruit of it 1,000 times. That lady who had the worry thing going on and all the anxiety, we went back to a place in her life where she had made a decision that she was responsible for taking care of people. And she took on the responsibility instead of trusting God. It's like this. Have you ever seen this? I've seen this a bunch of times. I was talking to somebody, the person, human being. I'll change their gender. I'm going to change it 5 times so you can't guess which gender it was. You could still guess, couldn't you? Sorry. But, okay, so this lady, she was just terribly, terribly consumed with fear. And we get down to it, and when she was younger, she had decided that fear was what was keeping her safe in the world. Fear. Well, I read in my Bible, fear is a spirit. Do not be given to the spirit of fear. Fear is ugly. It's horrible. It's a spirit is there to kill, steal, and destroy. And fear is like that. And this lady was totally convinced that fear was what protected her. And she actually came out and said it. And so I asked God, why is fear so important to you? Why do you listen to fear? And she said these words. She said, because fear is what's kept me safe my entire life. Well, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I've got like a 99.9% chance if I ask Jesus to speak to her about that, he won't agree with her. I'm hoping. I'm pretty sure. So I made myself look good. Instead of me telling her, I said, well, could I ask Jesus to, because she knew Jesus. She loved Jesus like we do, right? She loved Jesus. And I said, can I ask Jesus to speak to you about that? So I was like, Jesus, would you speak to her about that? Is that true? Fear has kept her safe her whole life? Except for I tried to not say it in a manipulative way. I tried to say it pretty normal. And she said, he laughed at me. Now, I don't know. I'm like, oh, it's a demon. It's not Jesus. He doesn't laugh at people. And then I just let her keep talking. And then it came out like this, because he said this to me before. I've said something that I believe was me taking care of myself. And he was like, he did this to me. He's like, really? I'm like, got it. I need to repent. She said, he chuckled at me because in my heart, I know it's not fear. It's him. I said, yeah, you want to repent? Change your mind? You didn't do it. You're not bad. You just believed a lie. And Jesus said we can be set free. And so when she chose to believe that, what Jesus said, I mean, it was so funny because he laughed at her. Just like, you know, he was just chuckling because he loves her. She felt loved when he laughed at her. She let that go, and guess what? Anxiety, gone. Having to check the locks on every door 100 times, gone. The compulsion that was controlling her physical behavior and her mental state of being, done. Because she ate his flesh, she drank his blood, and eternal life came up inside of that part of her heart, and she was free, and she was more in love with Jesus when she left than when she came. You know what I did? I just preached the gospel to her. Yeah. What's the gospel? He's life. He's life. Yeah. That's it? Yeah. You're good. He loves you. You have purpose. You have destiny. If there's something in your life going on, there's a reason. And he already fixed it. He's already given you this. This stuff is here. I don't know. You know, the ones I don't have, they really are available for me. This morning, God wants to give you gold. He does. And you know what? You have a destiny. The same way God sent Jesus to earth, God sent you to this place. You see, you're supposed to be proclaiming forgiveness. And that's funny, that word there. He said, anyone's sins, anyone's. That doesn't just mean anyone. That means anything as well. It's a Greek word, tis. It means anyone and anything. So you know what? Some of us are like, my world is mostly consumed with talking to individuals and preaching the gospel to them, sharing the good news with them, and forgiving their sins, setting them free from their disconnection so that their life will change. That's my whole world. I do it all the time. You see, but that's my world. You're called to a different world. Some of us are called to people. Some of us are called to regions. Anything means, you know what? I believe that some of us are called to bring freedom to the financial world. That's your job. The whole world's crying out for the sons of God who have an inheritance to be freed. I think some of us are called to the education system, to the health world, physical health, mental health, emotional, relational health. I believe that God has places where we're supposed to be. We're called by God to go out into the world and release the captives, set them free, forgive them. They don't know. They just don't know. They think that it's their fault. I'm broken because of me. And I don't realize that freedom is in Him. And all we do is we tell them the good news. All I did to that lady was told her the good news. And she saw the light and she saw the darkness, and there was no question of her choosing light. Had it happen to me, I've seen it 1,000 times. You see, we were called just like God sent Jesus to the world to preach the gospel and to live it. God sends us into the world. So guys, where's God calling you to? You've got gold to give away. And only you can do it. You do yours and I'll do mine. And I love the fact that it's all the same. We're all part of the family of God and all part of the kingdom. You know, I love that we have been called to do that. For Christ did not send me to baptize, Paul said, but to preach the gospel, to share the good news. When we say preach, we think of this thing I'm doing. That's sharing the good news. Whether you're on stage or talking to your friend who's hurting. Whether you're in business, manufacturing business, farming, the whole world is waiting to hear the good news and be set free. And he said, don't do it with wisdom and eloquence. Okay, we all qualify. I thank God for that. Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. The power isn't in us. It's in the message. It's in his cross. Him. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, who are experiencing the power of God, it is the power of God. Listen, we have a great message to share with the world. You're free to share it. Yeah, but share it. Jesus really is a solution. We just made Jesus too complicated, I think. And it was really hard. Harvey and I both memorized how to preach the gospel. And it was an hour-long presentation. We memorized the verbatim, didn't we, Harvey? It was so hard. I think people finally just said, I'll accept Jesus just to get us to shut up. And I'm like, never once did I know that Jesus set captives free. I just told them they weren't going to hell. Listen, this is a heaven on earth issue. It's a today issue. It's a hurting people issue. It's a broken community issue. That's what this is. The amount of the power of God working in the world today depends upon us bringing good news and setting captives free. You see, that's what you're called to. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. So you know the truth? We're still there. As the Father sent him, he's sending us. Where are you supposed to go this week? Where are you supposed to take freedom? A student? Co-worker? Stranger? Neighbor? In your family? It breaks my heart to see broken people that Jesus has set free, but they're not experiencing life. It breaks my heart. Guys, you carry life with you. Give it away this week. And if you're not confident in doing it, bring them here and Tim will talk their ears off. It's great. That sometimes I just walk away and leave him in the room with somebody and he just starts talking. I'm like, whew, I didn't have a clue what to say. Some people are never short of words, you know. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing. You guys share the gospel. Share the good news. Don't try to. The good news is freedom, not buttonholing people. Not hammering people and trying to convince them they're bad. The truth is, I'm trying to convince them they're good through a relationship and an encounter with God. He's never once shamed anybody. He's the one who defeated shame on the cross. Guys, God loves you. Today, if you've got a storm going on, we would love to help you have an encounter with Jesus. There's a reason. There's nothing you did. You're not being punished. You just need a drink. You're thirsty, you need a drink. We know the living water, right? Every one of you do. So let's all stand up. That was Easter 2.0. That's what young people call it. I can't remember that. Easter 2.0. There's more coming because I want to deal with some other things. Like, what did Jesus deal with? What was his struggle in the garden that night before he was crucified? Very important for you to know that. I want to look at a few other things that Easter is about. The resurrection's about, right? So, but this morning, we have a team that wants to pray. Wow. This is quite a team. We have ushers ready to catch people when they fall down under the power of God. It happens sometimes. It's okay. We're okay. We just don't like people to break their heads. So this morning, let's just pause. Our words reveal what we believe in. Really do. Do you share the good news with people? Or do you complain? Do you join in with their worries? Or do you share the good news? There is good news. And I believe each of us have a place we're supposed to be carrying the gold. This week, before we dismiss, I'm just going to ask the Lord to show you, because I tell you first, I want to take condemnation away from you. I was condemned into going out knocking on doors, really. Made to feel guilty for not doing it. And so I do it because I wanted to love God. And if you love God, you'll go knock on strangers' doors and tell them they're evil and putrid and they're going to go to hell. I don't want to do that. You know what I believe? I believe every single one of us, everyone in this room, I believe you're sharing the good news now. You just probably aren't, don't know you are. Anytime you speak a word of encouragement to somebody, anytime you have hope, you're sharing good news. Anytime you point somebody to their relationship with God, you have good news. Anytime you tell people they have worth and value, that you go over those 7 and 8 needs that people have, you're sharing the good news. Don't put God in a box. I just want to encourage you. So I'm going to ask God to do two things. I want to ask God right now to show you. To show you. To speak to you about where you're sharing the good news. So God, we just thank you for the same way that you sent Jesus. Jesus has sent us. Not as paupers, not as powerless, but the same way. So Jesus, would you show each one of us in here right now what it looks like in our lives, the way that we're sharing the good news? This morning, someone was in my office, and I have the most amazing orchid growing It's almost got 30 flowers on one plant. It's amazing. And somebody, I don't remember who it was. You might be in the room right now, but somebody walked in my office and said, wow, are you speaking to that plant? And I'm like, no, never thought of talking to it. But the truth is they understood. I could be speaking life into that plant and giving it freedom by faith. That's God? Yeah. I just hadn't thought about doing that. See, I believe God speaks to us. We share the good news in a lot of ways. So now I want to ask God to show you something else. Opportunities. This week, would you be willing just to share the good news with somebody? And that doesn't mean a canned presentation. It may be the most simple thing in the world. It's giving them a drink of water. Speaking a positive word to them. Telling them about your life with Him. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to ask God to show each one of us how we can share the good news this week. Some way we can do it. So Jesus, you know each of us and where we're going and what's coming up. So Jesus, would you show each one of us how we can give a gold away this week, how we can share good news with somebody or something in our world? I feel like the Lord just said to me that some of you, when you smile at someone, you're doing it. You're doing it. You're sharing the good news with them. Don't belittle that. I believe that God showed me that someone who, when you stop and are helping someone or doing something for someone in a begrudging way, like you do it, but you're like, ugh, okay, that you're sharing the good news when you do that. When you choose to do it, even though you don't want to, you're sharing the gospel. Saw someone with tears in their eyes. I understand this. Some of you, when you're talking to someone, when you're with a friend or someone, and you're hurting with them, and tears start forming in your eyes, those tears are powerful, and you're sharing the gospel with them. Jesus, I just ask you would make us a people who aren't ashamed of sharing the good news. And God, I just ask this week that you would show each of us, make us aware when we're sharing the gospel. Just thank you, King. If you were, so we're going to be dismissed, and I'm sorry, I was thinking of you guys, and my eyes are leaking. Peace. If you're in a storm right now, if you're in a mental storm, I really believe the Lord has something for you this morning. If you need anything else, we have teams up here, and we'll have more teams if we need them that want to pray with you today. Even if it's just you need to be loved, you need to feel His presence, good. He'll be here. He'll meet you here. Amen. If you need physical healing, we had a great testimony about diabetes that was healed at our last deal. It's unbelievable testimony. Horrible diabetic for years. It got totally set free. Numbers, totally normal. Ate sugar, didn't do anything. And it's been over 2 weeks, hasn't it, Harvey? They're still healed. That's just amazing. Amen. So God bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the gospel with me this morning. You're dismissed.